Good evening. There it is. There it is. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Made it here. We got another evening here underneath the tent. God's been good to us. He's been real good to us. And we've already had people coming by and getting the gospel out already tonight. Praise the Lord for that. All right, we're about to get into our singing hour here. Brother Gabe's coming up. Maybe I jumped up here a little too soon. Hopefully not. And I'm gonna read some scripture here as we get started. Find your seat, and then we're gonna sing praises to our Lord. Psalms 29 says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord and the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in the temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." We serve a mighty and almighty God. We serve the Lord God Almighty. And let's sing unto Him tonight. Brother Gabe.
Page number 19. Page number 40. I'm sorry. Page number 40. Thank you.
Can you see?
Hey, don't move it.
All right, keep back to our seats. Turn to page number 52. Christ arose. We serve a risen Savior. He's conquered death and hell, the grave. That's why we got something to look forward to. Page number 52.
Of the nails in his hand. Oh, the
shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. I don't know if you really ever thought about that very hard, but there's going to be a day when we see him face to face. The one that willingly gave his life for us. You know, I was talking about that Navy SEAL Michael Monsor that died for his Navy SEAL brothers on that rooftop the other morning. We got a Savior that done that for us. And I can't wait to see his face. And if we could just sing that second verse again, a cappella. Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart shall praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepares for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. You may be seated. Spoke to Abraham concerning Sodom's sin, it was him. It was him. He said, I'll not destroy it if I find it righteous men. It was him. It was him. Moses saw the bush on fire and heard a voice in it. It was him. I'm the God of Abraham. I am that I am. It was him. It was him. The fourth man in the furnace, the stone in the shepherd's hand. He split the sea from Moses and they crossed upon dry land. The one that has seen and these bones live again. It was him. A child is born in the town of Bethlehem. It was him. It was him. And he taught in the temple as a boy stood like a man. It was him. It was him. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It was him. It was him. The loaves and fishes fed 5,000 men. It was him. It was him. The one that walked on water, calmed the raging seas. He drove the cross of Calvary and he died upon that tree. A Savior rose again. It was Him. It was Him. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The same God that walked with Abraham and died for all our sins. I know you felt His presence here when you walked in. It was Him. Songs we sing in the words of future red. It was Him, it was Him. Spoke down upon the altar and called on His name. He'll save your soul, make you whole. Today could be the day. He said, I'd go to prepare a place, but He's coming back again. It was Him. It was Him. Oh, it was Him. It was Him.
Let's give praise the Lord for that. It's Him. All right, Brother Joshua, you want to come up and preach the Bible for us? I want you guys to pay attention. Open your Bibles and turn. Read. Pray for him as he's preaching.
Amen. To be allowed by God to be part of this little band here. I'm not trying to exalt men, but I'm amongst better men than I am. To whom much is given, much is required. I've been given so much in my life, and I've done so little with it. So little. God help us tonight. I really struggled with whether or not to even preach. I thought about just asking Michael to come up and finish the message from the other day, but I think God told me to preach this. I'm going to try and preach it. I'm not worthy to preach this. It's a heavy message tonight, but it's a good message. It's a true message, and we need to get it. Let's just pray for God's help. Let's pray tonight. Brother right here, would you lead us in prayer? I'll bring the mic down to you.
You will. You will.
Father, we thank you for this tonight. We thank you for this that you help us. We give you the strength and power as we go about which you were heard.
Amen. I'm humbled to hold this book. The pulpit, the platform and the pulpit's for the Bible, not the preacher. How many knew that already? Some of you probably knew that. In the Bible, they had a pulpit of wood, and they set it up for the Bible, for the book.
Yeah.
That's what that's for right there. It's not for me. One of the reasons that and you don't have to wear a suit to preach. I preach without a suit, but sometimes I do wear a suit, and the only reason to wear a suit when you preach is just to lend reverence to the Word of God. So if you do it, that's the only good reason to do it. It's sure not to make the preacher anything, because he's not. We're just earthen vessels. Lord, help us tonight. I wasn't going to preach this. I had another message all week I was praying about, and this is what the Lord gave me. Ezekiel chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. Now that had really rubbed the Jews the wrong way, because they based their whole religion, they based on who their daddy was, on their genealogy, who my daddy was, who my mommy was. That's how I'm going to get to heaven, is because daddy was a preacher, daddy was a priest, daddy was a Levite, daddy was a prince of Judah, etc. But God tells them here, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. That's pretty insulting. That's pretty downright insulting. It says, And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. That's that umbilical cord. He says, Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Now the Jews were high-born people. The Jews felt like that their birth gave them privilege. And God here said that your birth meant nothing. You were cast out in the field. You were to the loathing of thy person. He says, And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now that's shouting ground right there, if you see yourself in this condition. So God gives you a chance right here just to have a good old time praising the Lord for where He brought you from. But if you're not sure that you were from there, He's got a whole lot more for you. I don't know who this is for tonight. A lot of y'all look like pretty good people out there. But that's not my job to judge. We just bring the Word of God. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, he said, and thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. Now this is all preach. This all preaches. He's this here, this picture of Israel as an infant, and then growing to maturity, to a place where she's now of an age to have children, to bring forth fruit. God ordained Israel to bring forth fruit. God made Israel a nation of priests, the Bible says. The Levites were priests to the children of Israel, but the rest of Israel were priests to the world. God's purpose in Israel was that Israel would be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what He raised them up to do. That's why they kept the Scriptures, and that's why of them, according to the flesh, Christ came. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was born to Jewish parents, and the purpose of that was the purpose of God in making Israel a nation of priests was fulfilled in Christ's birth. But Israel, whenever the time came, the time of love, whenever the time came that they should be fruitful, just like the parable of the vineyard, they were not ready. They were not ready for God. And He says here of Israel, Then washed I thee with water, yea, I truly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Now this we can take application here to the church. Every New Testament doctrine has pictures, types in the Old Testament, and the church can be found all through the Old Testament. Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. And if you take issue with that, I'm sorry, I can't help you. God's pretty clear about it in the Bible. You've got to be smarter than the Bible to come up with that stuff. You've got to go to school.
Yeah.
You can't just read your Bible and say, oh, the church replaced Israel. You got to get a degree before you can be that dumb. It's hard. I don't want to be in the flesh, but that's just how it is. You've got to get too smart for God before you can get there. Because the Bible is really, really, really clear about the nation of Israel and the church being separate and having separate purposes. So the church here, though, we've been washed from our blood. I've anointed thee with oil, he says. And we could also make an application here to America. Now, we have this doctrine that's gone around throughout America. I forget the name of it right now, but the idea of the doctrine is that, I wish I could remember it, but the idea of the doctrine is that America is somehow has taken the physical blessings of Israel, and that God is going to give all those blessings and privileges to America for eternity, and that America is just going to keep on existing on and on and on and on, and Christ is going to come up and set up this kingdom on the earth, and somehow America is going to be the pinnacle, and Washington, D.C. might be Mount Zion to some of those folks, and that's not in the Bible. It's just not there. But we can see that God has blessed America. If you don't see God's blessing on America, you're blind. And God's blessing on America has been due to one thing, and that's that America has held and carried the Bible. Now, some people might say it's because this nation was founded on godly principles, and there's some of that involved in it. But if you'll look back through history, every time a country would uphold the Word of God and make it freely available to the people of the world, God will bless that country. And they become a holder, a carrier of the Word of God, like England was, until England threw out the Word of God. And now England's had nothing but trouble. America was a carrier of the Word of God, the authorized version, by the way, up till, and you guys are going to be a lot smarter than me on this, you can all correct me on this, what was it, 1879, Scribner's? 73, see? I don't know a lot. But right there in there was the last revision that was honest to the Word of God. And if you really want to know, you can look it up. This isn't hidden history. You can look it up. That was the last honest revision of the Word of God. After that, they came out with all these new manuscripts. They came out with these corrupted texts. And they started rewriting the Bible. And they started cutting things out of the Bible and adding things to the Bible. And if you don't see that, it's because you're either ignorant or willingly blind. It's painfully obvious.
Yeah.
I'm not preaching on that tonight, but it is painfully obvious. And God gave America the Bible, the Word of God in English, perfectly preserved, absolutely perfect, without error, the King James Authorized Version Bible. And some people say, oh, don't you know King James was wicked? That has nothing to do with it. This Bible, 60% of this was translated by William Tyndale, who was burned at the stake for what he did. Most of the work was not done by those Bible translators. The only thing King James did was sign the order that allowed it to be done.
Right.
But God is the one that did it, and God's the one that turned the heart of the king to do it, and King James morality has nothing to do with it. Because God raises up who he will, he puts down who he will, just like he raised up Cyrus to send the children of Israel back to their land. God raised up King James, whether you like him or not, to give us the authorized version Bible legally. We already had it. You can go back and read. I've held a page of the Tyndale Bible. I was privileged to get the opportunity. And do you know what I read when I read the Tyndale Bible? The same thing I read in my authorized version King James Bible. It's the same thing. They use F's instead of S's, but it's the same thing. This is the same Bible that it was come 1873 or whatever, was the last revision, and then we come out with this whole group that decides to bring in higher criticism and let the Catholic Church that has always suppressed the Bible, said I wasn't preaching on it, but we're stuck here at the moment. The Catholic Church, which has always suppressed the Bible, got in on the next revision. And we got old Westcott and Hort, and you can read their own biographies. You can read what they said about the Bible. You can read their disrespect and dishonor for the Word of God. And they came out with these fancy new Bibles, and America bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. And for over 100 years now, we've had fake Bibles running around all over the place. If you don't like that, it's because you don't want to like it. If you don't like it, you've got an authority problem. Because God said, my words endure forever. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. You say, oh, that's just in heaven. What about the generation?
Right.
from this generation forever. If it was limited to heaven, there's no generations in heaven. His word is settled in heaven, and because it's settled in heaven, it's settled on earth. Amen. And if you don't have God's word, then what in God's own name are you doing here tonight?
Yeah.
What's the point? Yeah. I'm going home, Michael. Amen. If we don't have God's word, what in God's name are we doing? Because your opinion is just as good as my opinion, even though we don't agree. And what a mess that is. There's no authority. Well, America hates authority. And America departed from the authority of the Word of God. And now every man does that which is right in his own eyes. We're going to get into that tonight, Lord willing, a little bit. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. So you can get out your Bible and you can study your Bible and you can get your concordance and you can look at the Hebrew and you can look at the Greek and you can get the NLT and you can get the ESV and you can get all these Bibles and the NIV and you can look at it and you can say, well, this one says that and this one says that and that one says that. What I think it means is, there's the problem. There's the problem. It's not thus saith the Lord anymore. It's thus saying your own stinking opinion. Forgive this thinking. Thus saith my opinion. Thus saith me. Thus saith Joyce Myers. Thus saith Joel Osteen. Thus saith the healers out here. Thus saith whoever wants to say whatever anybody wants to say. Thus saith me. That's our problem today. Because we have left the Word of God and now it's up to anybody's opinion. Anything goes. There's no standard. There's no authority. If there's no authority, there's no preaching.
Yeah.
It's just a bit, oh, wait a second, that's what you want. That's what you want. You don't want preaching. That's why our churches now don't have a preaching hour in half of them. They get together for small groups. And everybody has a little Bible study. And everybody gets a chance to weigh in. And you're not going to let some guy get up there and say, thus saith the Lord, because you don't want it. You don't want God to say, thus saith the Lord. You want your opinion because you feel like you've got a right to express yourself. Bless your heart. You don't got a right to express yourself when it comes to God. God gets a right to express Himself. He's going to express Himself here tonight. This stuff is deep and it's gotten us bad. It's got us fixed up real bad in this nation. Everybody just does what they want. You open up a Bible and they say, well, my Bible doesn't say that. The atheists know better. The atheists know better. They throw it in our faces. Let me tell you, this'll fix it. Lord, help me not get in pride. This will fix it for you. You get your NIV. You get your NIV. Get out there on the street. Get yourself a couple tracts and stick them in your pocket. And you go up to people and start selling them Jesus Saves and see what they say to you. See what kind of questions they ask you. And when they start asking you questions, try and answer their questions. And you'll see how long it takes them to eat your lunch. Because they know full well you ain't got a Bible. They know full well that the Christians don't have Bibles today. That our word just doesn't even agree with itself. And they will use this Bible against that Bible against that Bible. And yes, you say, well, I can still defend the virgin birth from the NIV. But at the same time as you're defending it, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who I've heard have now approved the NIV for use, will use the same Bible you're using to disprove the virgin birth. Amen. It is good. This is me. It's good because it's true. Lord, help me tonight. So He washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. The washing of the blood is salvation. The anointing of the oil is sanctification for service. And there's no mystery in sanctification. We've taught on that. We've got it up on podcasts. You can see what we believe about sanctification. If you're worried about it, go online and check it out. We do not have time tonight. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. Now, the badger skins went on the tabernacle, right? Badger skins on the tabernacle. He clothed thee with badger skins. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead. By the way, what that jewel said to the Jews? Holiness unto the Lord. What he's describing here is the priesthood. He's describing the tabernacle. He's describing the fact that God gave them a way to be redeemed through the blood. And the sacrifice is pointed forward to the blood of Jesus Christ that would be shed. And there's the washing of blood. Hebrews says that without shedding of blood, there's no remission. We're going to try and get there tonight. God be in our help. So here he's talking about how he gave them all of these things. He gave them his word. He gave them the oil. He gave them the broider work. He gave them the badger skins. He girded them. Think about this for a minute. He said that he girded them. The tabernacle was God clothing Israel. It wasn't God clothing himself. It was God clothing Israel.
Yeah.
Boy, doesn't that just flip the whole picture for you? Because God's the one that counts. So when God put up that tabernacle, it wasn't to clothe him. It was to shield the children of Israel from his holiness.
Yeah.
Because God is a holy God. And if he hadn't had that tabernacle all set up there and sanctified with the oil and the sacrifices and the blood, sprinkling the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, he'd have had to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he's a holy God. So that tabernacle clothed the children of Israel so that God could dwell in their midst. And he gave them all their clothing. And here we have our church houses, not like a tabernacle, but we gather and meet. In fact, our tabernacle today is our body. Our body. And boy, does this application get deep when you start applying this to the physical body. Church, you're supposed to look like the tabernacle. You're supposed to look like the tabernacle. You're supposed to be clothed in a way as individuals that covers your nakedness and shows that God resides within, and the Shekinah glory of God is supposed to rest upon you. We're not our own. We're called to be separate. We're called apart. We're called to be different. We're called to display the holy righteousness of God. We're called to stand in the gap for a lost and dying world. We're called to be the ones that stand there and tell a lost, dying sinner that would fall into hell if God showed up in front of him, Jesus loves you and he died for you and he was buried and he rose again. And the anointing and the power of God is supposed to go through us and shine on that person so that they can get a glimpse of the Shekinah glory of God and recognize their sin and turn from their evil way and repent and believe the gospel. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. You don't get to dress any old way you want to dress. You don't get to act any old way you want to act.
Amen.
The Bible says in Revelation that we're kings and priests unto God.
Right.
Kings and priests if we're saved. You know, a lot of the problem with our churches in America, we're not kings and priests. Well, if you're not a king or a priest, you're not saved.
Yeah.
He made you. He called you to be a king and a priest. He clothed them with broidered work. He gave them badger skins, girded them with fine linen, covered them with silk. He said, I deck thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hand and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. I think of how he says, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, as comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thy face from me. Turn away thy face from me, he says. He says that we have ravished him with our love in Song of Solomon. Speaks about how he's adorned her. Speaks about how he's decked the church with the gold and the silver, given the church the holy anointing oil. He says that it's prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord God. It was perfect. And guess what God says? Don't turn me down too much. I'll blow a vein trying to shout. Okay, you got to have a balance, I know. If you have to turn it out sideways or something, do it a little bit. But I don't know why it is, but if I can't hear myself, I just can't stop shouting loud. He says here, but that is trust in thine own beauty. So the beauty of the church is the perfection of the church. The perfection of the church. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. God's will is for you and I to be perfect and to live perfect. Sinless perfection is in the Bible, but not like they preach it. Not like they preach it. They just stole our words. They stole our Bible verses and misapplied them and created heresies around them.
Yep.
God wants you to be sinlessly perfect. You must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ to be sinlessly perfect. That makes you sinlessly perfect in His book. And then you must confess your sins. If you confess them, He's faithful and just to forgive you. You get all that sin taken care of. Everything God deals with you about. Get your heart right with God. Get pure and clean. And God says, you're perfect. Now the world says, you ain't perfect. I saw you blow up the other day. You say, yeah, I know, but He said I'm perfect. He said, I'm perfect. My conscience is pure. I'm cleansed of my sin. I'm washed in the blood. That's the only way we can minister, by the way. That's the only way we can do anything for God. We've got to be cleaned up. And that takes the blood, a daily application of the blood, a constant going back to God for forgiveness of the sins I've committed since I've been saved, to make me clean enough to go and carry the gospel. As soon as I sin, I got to get back to that blood. So I can have that relationship again restored to its fullness. That's Bible sinless perfection. Hey. This other stuff, that God's not real.
Yeah.
You ever notice all they do is redefine all the terms?
Yep.
They say, oh, I'm sinlessly perfect. They scream and yell. Didn't you just get angry? Doesn't the wrath of man not work the righteousness of God? Well, yeah, but that's not a real sin. That's a shortcoming. Yeah. It's redefine all the terms. Sin is sin. God says she was perfect. She was perfect through comeliness, which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But that is trust in thine own beauty. That is trust in thine own beauty. And what happened as soon as she trusted in her own beauty? And playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. If I get up here tonight, wearing a suit, carrying a King James Bible, and I get up here, and in my heart, I have a desire for you all to think I'm something special. God calls that playing the harlot.
Yeah.
God calls that playing the harlot. Trusting in my own beauty. If I get up here tonight, and I try to preach the Word of God, and I'm doing it in the energy and the power of my own flesh, and I'm not doing it in submission to the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and to the Word of God, but I'm doing it out of something in my own heart, and not out of His heart, that's playing the harlot.
Yeah.
We've been playing the harlot in America. Our churches have been playing the harlot. We've been sending our boys to seminary, and they've been learning how to play the harlot.
Yeah.
They've learned how to go and get their concordance and look at the Hebrew and the Greek, get out their commentaries, put together some kind of exegetical masterpiece, put up some kind of sermon that tickles the ears, but they've not learned how to get along with God. They've not learned how to get right with God. They've not learned how to get holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you get holy?
Amen.
Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I've sinned against you. I can't do this without you. Help me, Lord. I'm a sinful man and I need your help tonight. Have mercy on me, oh God. And then when God says, go preach, you get up and you preach. And you go tell lost sinners what Jesus did for you. And if you've got that, that's all you need.
Amen.
Help me tonight, Lord. And if you ain't got that, you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. That is trust in thine own beauty. By the way, I wasn't acting. I was praying and I was asking God right then to do that for me because I need it. And I can't preach without Him. I can't do anything without Him. Not one thing. Not one thing that gives Him glory. So He said that is trust in thine own beauty. Hey, Wynn, turn my page. That is trust in thine own beauty and place the harlot because of thy renown. Got so famous you didn't need God anymore. And pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. By the way, we can talk all night about the sins of lewdness that are committed in the contemporary churches across this land, and it'd be true. But this starts in fundamental Bible-believing churches that forget that they need the Lord. They forget that they've got to have power from on high. They forget where God brought them from. And they begin to trust in their own renown. They begin to trust in their own beauty, in their standards, in their rules, in their regulations. I dress right. Bless God, my wife dressed right. Bless God, my children dress right. Bless God, I don't watch the movies other people watch. And next thing you know, you're lifting yourself up like this, and God's left you and He's left your ministry, and you've got nothing to offer a lost and dying world. But that is trust in thine own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown. He says here, and of thy garments in verse 16, thou didst take and deckest thy high places with diverse colors and playest the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver. It's right here. My gold and my silver. This is my gold and my silver. Since thou hast taken my fair jewels, if I'm wrong about that, Lord, correct me, which I have given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. Took your God-given Bible, the Word of God, that He gave you, that He preserved, and you made instead images of men. You used that gold and that silver, and you cooked up some books in your own words. You brought out a bunch of commentaries, and you stopped preaching the Word of God, and you started preaching the Word of man. You took the jewels and the gems that God gave you, and you traded them in for seminary stuff. Not preaching the Bible anymore.
Yeah.
Preaching the words of men. You put up the pulpits for the Bible. The pulpit is for the Bible. This pulpit isn't here for me. It's not here to glorify me. This pulpit of wood. It's a wooden pulpit because our Savior died on an old rugged cross. And this is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And we take that Word of God and we set it on a pulpit of wood to remind us that Jesus Christ died for us according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And we preach from a pulpit of wood, not glass.
Amen.
We preach from a pulpit of wood because it's a picture of the cross. And we lift high Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's what the cross did.
Yep.
And we take our gold and our silver in this nation, and we play the harlot, and we give those things. We give them to people who can melt them down and alter them into something they are not. We give them to the Hebrew and Greek scholars. We give them to our Bible, all these Bible theologian people. And we give it to them. Yes, sir, whatever you want to do with it, and whatever you give me back from that seminary, I'll take it and I'll use it. Yes, sir. Denominational headquarters, you want me to use your little booklets you put out, even though they're full of perversions? Yes, sir. I'm going to give up my gold, I'm going to give up my silver, and I'm just going to take images of men. This is not what I plan on preaching tonight. I'm winging it. I'm sorry. I'm winging it tonight. Just pray for me that I'll keep it right. Because God messed up all my plans, and I'm just trying to obey Him tonight. So He says here, and didst commit whoredom with them. Now what is that whoredom? We've taken the gold and the silver God's given us, and we've committed whoredom with it. We've taken it and blended it with the world. We brought in Christian psychology.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm for everybody that names the name of Christ. I want them to do as good as they can. But we brought in Christian psychology.
Yeah.
And we've committed whoredom with the Word of God. We brought in philosophy. We brought in all kinds of men's ideas and men's ideals. We brought in further revelations of the Word of God. We've gone beyond the 66 books that God gave us. And we've started committing whoredom across this land with the gold and the silver that God gave us in America. Listen to me tonight. God gave America the perfect, preserved Word of God in English. And we've committed whoredom with it in this land. You wonder why we're going the way we're going. This is why we're going the way we're going. Listen, perversion and whoredom and sodomy started spiritually in the church. We are reaping physically today what the church has sown for 130 years, 150 years. The church has been using other Bibles and committing whoredom with the Word of God. It says, and tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. The incense is the prayers of the saints. Revelation says that. The oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we took our oil and we took our incense and we set it before these theologians, and we set it before these professors, and we set it before all these Bible critics, and we set it before the psychologists, and we set it before the PhDs down at the university, and we've committed whoredom with them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before thee for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Why in God's name are you sending your kids to college?
Yeah.
Why in God's holy name would you take your child that God told you to raise and the nurture and admonition of the Lord and send them out to a hellhole college for a piece of dirty paper that won't do them a lick of good?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't want that trash. I don't want their degrees. I did one semester and I got my belly full and I said, I'm done. I don't need their trash. Why do we send our children to public school? They're God deniers.
Yeah.
They're God haters. You say there's good people in the public school, then why don't they stand up for Jesus?
Amen.
They say, I'll lose my job if I do. Then you ain't a good person.
Amen.
He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you.
Right.
He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah. Amen.
You're not a good person if you won't stand up for Jesus. He says, thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for thee. Why do you set your children in front of that TV? Why are you giving them phones? Why are you giving them the trash of the world? Why are you putting the fire of hell in their hearts? Why are you letting the devil just run them into the ground?
Yeah.
America, Church of America, this is the church first. It applies to the nation too. We can see how it applies nationally with abortion. Praise God, Roe versus Wade got overturned. The judgment must begin at the house of God. He says, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. I think about the days of America back in the 1600s and then the 1700s. In 1742, the Great Awakening came to this nation. The Great Awakening came and a little preacher got saved. Can't remember his name for the life of me. I don't guess it matters. It does to God. And he went down and he started a little church down in Sandy Creek, North Carolina. A little log cabin church. And God started saving souls. And they had 300 and some people coming to their little log cabin church. I just ended up there one day. I didn't even know it existed. And this preacher said, come down here, let me show you a little piece of your history. Hallelujah. And I walked in there, and that place wasn't as big as this tent. They'd have 300 people out in the Indian woods coming to service. Some of them would drive dozens of miles even through the wilderness to get there on a Sunday morning. And they finally said, we need to just split up here. So-and-so can preach, and Johnny can preach, and you go over there and start a church, and you go over there. Because we love each other, we're just going to get together and have jubilees. We're going to get together and have some feasts and some camp meetings. And they spread out, and more people were getting saved, and it just kept on happening. And it turned into 100 churches. It turned into 1,700 churches. And it grew and grew. And then all of a sudden, the abomination out of hell came out of it called the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you don't like that. They're God deniers. They're Bible deniers.
Yeah.
Now, there were good men in the Southern Baptist Convention for a long time. But it's gone corrupt. It's gone to hell.
Yeah.
God have mercy on me today. They don't believe the Bible. They don't follow Jesus.
Yeah.
They preach another gospel. If that ain't true, then may God judge me for it. I stand before God for what I said tonight. The Southern Baptist Convention is a thing of the devil.
Yeah.
But what started underneath it was a beautiful thing. What led up to the Southern Baptist Convention was a beautiful thing. But then they departed from the faith. That's what he's saying here. He says, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and barren, wast polluted in thy blood. He said, you forgot about when you wore buckskins. You forgot about when you had a little log cabin with no air conditioning. You forgot about when you didn't have a sound system. You forgot about when the Bible scholars weren't telling you what to preach. You forgot about those days when all you had was an old Bible. And you had to go out to the woods and get on your knees and get before God and get a message for God's flock. You forgot about those days.
Yeah.
I know this isn't put together well tonight. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do my best. Lord, forgive me for my stumbling. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. We've got our churches all over this land today.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag, and I'm not, but in my travels up and down I-40 particularly, I've been in church after church after church after church. As a nobody, as a nothing, just trying to mind God. As I've gone in church after church, you know what I'll find? I'll find one old guy somewhere, Brother Junior, sitting in the back. Nobody really cares about what he's got to say. And they're all doing their own thing, and the church is sliding into the world. And he's just sitting there back there praying and trying to hold on.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again across this land. And I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about Bible-believing churches. I'm talking about churches that stood on the Word of God and that preached righteousness and that preached judgment and that preached that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. We've forgotten. We've forgotten that we were naked and bare and polluted in our blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee a high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Come as you are.
Yep.
Come as you are.
There you go.
Just come. Please come into our church house. We've got a seat for you right here. You don't need to repent.
Yeah.
You don't need to turn. Just come. And by the way, here's the offering plate. We'd sure appreciate an offering today. You've opened your feet to everyone that passed by. Oh, come on in here. Oh, you think you're a woman and you're a man? Come on in here. I won't offend you. I won't offend you. You come right on and sit in the house of God. Take communion with us. Here's the cup. Here's the wafer. Thou hast built thy high places at every head of the way. He says, thou hast multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors.
Yeah.
Egypt's the world.
Right.
Egypt's in the church today.
Amen.
Egypt is in the church today.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, Egypt is in the church today.
Yeah.
Thou hast also committed fornication with the neighbor, thy neighbors. Great of flesh. How do you know Egypt's in a church? Because it's operating in the flesh. That's how.
Yeah.
When a church stops operating in the power of God and starts operating in the flesh, Egypt's in the church.
Amen.
Great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food. The preaching has dried up across the land. God has diminished our ordinary food. You go to a church and the preacher gets up and he opens up his Bible and it's dead as last year's rocks.
Yeah.
There's no life in it. The food is left. The food is gone. The sheep are starving across this nation.
Yeah.
Because we've left the Bible and God has stretched out His hand and diminished our ordinary food. It says, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate me. Oh, you can't have church because of COVID. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We won't meet. We'll forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have a parking lot service. Oh, you better not do that. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We don't want to offend. forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The worse it gets, the more we got to have church.
Amen.
He says, I've stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. I remember as a young man, I got attracted to some girls. Here came this pretty girl. Skin tight clothes, showing things all over the place. That's pretty good. Hey, what's your name? Oh, hi. And she's flirting it up. The next thing you know, she's flirting with somebody else. What happened? Oh. Here comes another little girl, skin tight clothing, showing stuff all over the place. Hey, what's your name? Oh, this is my name. Hey, yeah, why don't we talk a little bit later? Yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit later. Where'd she go? She's talking to Johnny. And she's acting just like she just acted to me. Yeah. You know what I said? I said, I went to my mom and dad. My daddy was a pastor. I walked up to him one night late after church. I said, Dad, Mom, I don't want to marry a daughter of the Philistines.
Amen.
I don't want to marry a daughter of the Philistines. I don't want a Canaanite woman.
Amen.
I want a daughter of Sarah.
Amen.
You know what I've seen in the churches across the lands? The daughters of the Philistines.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what it says here? The daughters of the Philistines are ashamed of our lewd way. How about that? The daughters of the Philistines are ashamed of our lewd way. Our churches are full of more sin than the world.
Yeah.
There's people out here that see the sin in the church. And they're ashamed and embarrassed by the sin in the church, and they're not even saved.
Yeah.
He says, thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent places in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire. What's he saying here? He's saying a harlot works for its dinner. A harlot's trying to make some money, but you already have it. You already have my jewels. You already have my silver. You already have the clothing that I clothed you with. You already had my righteousness. You already had my promises. You already had my provision. And you sold it all so that they would come and commit lewdness with you.
Yeah.
A harlot's just trying to make a living.
Yeah.
A harlot's hungry. Wants to fill her belly. But the Church of America had it all.
Yeah.
And has paid Egypt and has paid the Assyrians to come and commit lewdness in the church. We'll hire a pianist just to have a pianist. It doesn't matter what her background is. God help us. Have mercy on us today. He says, but as a wife that committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. This is what God charges here Israel with. And this is what is going to be charged to the false church today. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers and hirest them. You bring them into the church. You go out and recruit them.
Yeah.
And bring them into the church. We need to have a more powerful worship service. So let's go get a musician that can rock it up. And we get some pervert to come in and sleeping around on Friday night. And he gets up on Sunday morning and starts beating on his guitar like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're hiring the Assyrians. We're hiring the Babylonians. We're hiring the world to come into the church to try and pump up our services.
Yep. That's it.
He says, and the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art the contrary. says nobody even wants to have whoredom with you because you're so ugly. He says nobody follows you to commit whoredom. That's what he said right there to the church. Nobody even follows you. Nobody's even going to come to your church to commit whoredom because you're so ugly. So you have to pay them to come in. Where do the really good rock stars go? Brother Gabe, do they go to the church or do they go to the bar? Do they go to the church or do they go down to Nashville? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
Where do the really talented rock stars go? They go to San Francisco. They go to Nashville. They go to places where they can get a name for themselves. Yep. It's the washouts the church hires. Because they can't get anybody else, Brother Michael. My old pastor in North Carolina said, you want real rock and roll? Why don't you go get some old AC/DC or something?
Yeah.
He says, these wimps in the churches don't even know how to play guitar.
Yeah.
He's right!
Yep.
He's right!
Yeah.
He's right! We're so foolish!
Hey.
We're so foolish! The world doesn't even want to come and be a part of what we're doing, so we have to pay them to come.
Yeah.
For committing whoredom with them. He says you're like a wife that commits adultery in that nobody follows you to commit whoredom, but you follow them. And hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women and thy whoredoms. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward. I had a man out tell me, Brother Michael, the other day, because I said something about a harlot, and the man says, do you think Jesus would say the word harlot? Yeah?
No,
he's not screaming at him and saying, you dirty harlot, and I'm not either. But yeah, he used the word harlot. And then he gave him hope. There's hope if you're a harlot. We're going to be preaching tonight. I haven't said it yet. This is the title. A Sin Worse Than Sodomy. A Sin Worse Than Sodomy. That's the message tonight. A Sin Worse Than Sodomy. In Genesis 19, God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But there's a sin worse than Sodom. He says, thou gavest gifts to... They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, and that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. And this is God's word right here. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. I didn't say it. I read it out of the Bible. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And by the way, this is coming. In the book of the Revelations, you're all welcome tonight. Thank you for coming. In the book of the Revelations, the Bible says that the great whore will be rejected. God will cast out the great whore, and the world will turn on the great whore. Now, a lot of people believe the Catholic Church is the great whore. I believe that too. It's pretty clear in the Bible. She's drunk with the blood of the saints. But did you know that the great whore has daughters of the great whore? The Bible talks about daughters of the great whore.
Yep.
And she's got a lot of daughters.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of daughters. And some of them have Baptist on the church sign.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
You see, I don't think so. I hope yours isn't.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Some of them have Baptist on the sign. Some of them say Pentecostal. Some of them say Charismatic. Some of them say Christian Church. Some of them say Lutheran. Some of them say Episcopalian. Some of them say Methodist. There's a lot of daughters of the great whore.
Yeah.
And they're great of flesh.
Yeah.
And they're committing whoredom with the Egyptians. He says, "Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved. With all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness." By the way, the harlot church is going to meet on Sunday, the Saturday after the rapture. It comes on Saturday.
Yeah.
They say, "Well, I don't believe in a rapture." Well, I'm sure you don't.
Right.
It ain't for you. Sorry, it's for the bride. It's not for the whore. It's for the bride.
Amen.
There's a harlot church, and there's a true church. And the manifestation of the harlot is that she's great of flesh and commits whoredoms with Egypt. The manifestation of the true church is that she follows Christ.
Amen.
That she repents of her sins and she's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. What did he say to her? That he clothed her in those badger skins. We talked about that earlier. We talked about that. "Oh, I'm weak tonight. God have mercy, I am weak. I can barely even stand up here. You pray for me tonight. God help me to preach. And when you're done, you tell me, Lord, so I can shut up." So he says that he would judge her. Let's look at verse 38. "And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy." Now this is our God, who is a God of love. Did you know that love makes a man jealous?
Yeah.
There are more murders committed because of jealousy than anything else. And God said in His Word, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." You know the Bible says in there in the Old Testament, "I, whose name am jealous."
Yeah.
God called Himself jealous as surely as He called Himself the I Am. As surely as He called Himself Jehovah, as surely as He called Himself Emmanuel, God with us, He said, "I, whose name am jealous." That's not a name you see on those pretty little plaques of the names of God. "I, whose name is jealous." God's jealous tonight.
Amen.
God is jealous tonight. He's jealous over His church. And He's jealous over the whoredoms that are being committed spiritually. We're preaching on a sin worse than sodomy tonight in the Bible. And you'll see why in just a second. He said in verse 39, "And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent places." These fancy church buildings are all coming down. He says, "They're going to throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places." The seminaries are coming down. BBC out there in Springfield, Missouri, it's coming down.
Yeah.
It's coming to the ground.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch more are coming to the ground. He says, "I'm going to throw them down. I'm done with them." He says, "They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords." Lord, help us tonight. I really want to get to the rest of the scriptures, and you need to help me, Lord God, if that's what you want me to do, because I'm not moving very fast. I need your help, Lord. Touch us, Lord, in Jesus' name. "And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women." Now, what are those many women? He's going to tell us about them in just a minute. I'll try to hold out for that. "And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire anymore." God's going to put an end to it. "So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet and will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth." You forgot where you came from. You forgot your roots. You forgot the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You forgot the old Bible. You forgot the old preacher who warned you that this was going to happen. You forgot because you have your big tall brick buildings with the steeples that reach up into heaven. You forgot about the little old log church back in the woods, deep out there in nowhere, where the old preacher had sweat himself sick in the heat with the people sitting around trying to cram in, and the mosquitoes and the wasps, where all he had was a good old Bible. And all he did was tell you the truth. He wasn't polished, and he didn't have a whole lot of beautiful analogies. He didn't have a bunch of pretty illustrations. He couldn't tell you what he read in Reader's Digest because he didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
And you forgot. That's where we came from.
Right.
That's where we came from.
Listen, when the church was poor and small and wretched and miserable and blind and naked before God, and men and women came to church in their poverty, just needing something from God, there was power on the church in this land.
Yeah.
Now we've got our projector screens and our sound systems. We've got our red carpets and our air conditioning systems. We've got our asphalt parking lots all painted pretty and our parking burns. We've got our suits and our ties. We've got our jewelry. We've got our hair fixed just right. We've got our makeup on. And we walk into a bad church that's committing whoredom with Egypt. And God's going to bring it all to the ground. All to the ground. He said, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast spreaded me in all these things, behold, therefore also I will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee. Listen to this time. Saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. As is the mother, so is the daughter. You know why people get saved today and they don't change? You want to know why people get saved at the altar and tomorrow they're in a bikini strip down in front of everybody taking selfies with a Heineken in their hand and rock and roll music blaring?
Yeah.
Because as is the mother, so is the daughter.
Yeah.
Because as is the mother, so is the daughter.
Yep.
And our churches have committed whoredoms with Egypt.
Yep.
And as is the mother, so is the daughter. And our converts liken us. A lot of them just haven't figured out you're not supposed to post that stuff yet. You're supposed to keep it secret and have your little hidden folder and not show everybody what you're doing on Saturday and on Friday night. And you're supposed to pretend like you're all right. As is the mother, so is the daughter. He said, they shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art my mother's daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband, hates her husband. Who's the husband of the church? Jesus Christ. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband. Oh, you'll sing it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And you commit lewdness and whoredoms with Egypt. And you loathe our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a sin worse than sodomy. He says, thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands. Now he's going to tell us who our sisters are here. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father was an Amorite, and thine elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand, is Sodom and her daughters. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Do you hear that tonight? Do you hear that tonight? He's talking to the nation of Israel, but the spiritual application applies to the church. Because we have been grafted into Israel. And right now, spiritual privilege rests on the church. It will be restored to Israel when he grafts her back in. That's Bible. He says, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, in verse 47, nor done after their abominations. He says, you haven't done what Sodom did. You haven't done what Samaria did. He said, you've done worse. There's a sin worse than sodomy.
Yeah.
And who does God call out for committing that sin? The Sunday morning crowd.
Yep.
That's who. You wonder why sodomites hate the church? Because they see it.
Yeah.
They see it.
Yep.
They see it.
Yep.
They're not fooled. He says, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing. As if the sin of Sodom was a very little thing. As if the sin of Samaria, making a fake religion, naming that gold calf the Almighty God, just like our churches are doing today. They get up and say, I believe Jesus. I believe the Word of God. And they've got a golden calf, Michael.
Yeah.
They've got false preachers. They ordain priests to themselves of the lowest of the people. Anyone who brings a sacrifice and bows at their feet and licks their little boots at their seminary is their preacher. He says here, you as if it was a little thing that was corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done thou and thy daughters. That is a fearful statement. Verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. The iniquity of Sodom was pride, first of all. They didn't really need God. They had everything that they needed. It was fullness of bread. They don't really need the bread of life anymore. They've got a fullness of bread. They've got their Bible studies. They've got everything that they got. They don't even need the preacher to preach anymore. They know it all, Michael.
Yep.
They know it all. An abundance of idleness. Just sitting around, doing nothing.
Yeah.
Dancing in your praise and worship while the world goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, that's right.
Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And what are our churches doing in this land? We'll grab people from everywhere we can get them if we can just pump our numbers and build our churches. And the little country church has disappeared.
Yep.
The poor and needy churches. Instead of strengthening their hands, if we can get more people to come to our church, we don't care what we got to do it.
Yeah.
And we have killed the community church.
Yep.
And we have consolidated the churches in America into the mega church that meets online primarily. We killed the poor and needy. We have not strengthened the hand of the poor and needy in this day. And they were haughty. That means they walked in pride. You sit there and watch your dirty TV, watch your filthiness, watch people commit iniquity, and then you get up and walk to church on Sunday. With no remorse, no shame. No shame.
Yeah.
No shame. Haughty. And committed abominations. Committed abominations. Abominations gets into Sodom. It gets into that act of a man with a man and a woman with a woman that God says that it's an abomination that He will burn the world for. God judges Sodom.
Yeah.
God judges Sodom. But there's a sin worse than Sodom. Today. There is a sin worse than Sodom. He says, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. You know how many young men have gotten their first drink of liquor at their youth leader's house in this nation?
Yeah.
You know how many young women have gotten their first taste of the marriage act from their pastor in this nation?
Yeah.
He says, thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. God is answering prayer tonight, Michael.
Amen.
God is answering prayer.
Amen.
He's answering my prayers that I pray. I thank Him for it.
Amen.
Thou also which hast judged thy sisters. Do you hear that? Judge thy sisters. Thou also hast judged thy sisters. Thou also hast judged thy sisters. He says in the first verse that thou hast justified thy sisters in all thy abominations which thou hast done. And we go out here and preach the gospel. And people everywhere say, I don't need to be saved. I've seen the church.
Yeah.
I don't need your Jesus. I have more fun at the bar and I don't have to put on a show.
Yeah.
I don't need your Jesus.
That's it.
I don't need you to talk to me about this stuff. I know what's going on down at the church house. And by the way, this we're none of us immune from this. This is everywhere in America.
Right.
There's, I think I heard over 90 different groups of Baptists, if you want to just pick on the Baptists.
Yeah.
And I don't know of a group this isn't in.
Yeah.
I'm serious tonight. This is eating us up. This is killing us. He says, thou also which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame. For thy sins that thou hast committed, more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. It's Gay Pride Month in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gay Pride Month. In America. But God says to our churches in their lewdness, in their lewdness, what's going on in your church houses on Sunday morning is more offensive than a gay pride march.
Come on. That's it.
That's what he's saying to us.
Yeah.
Are we going to listen to him? America, turn back to God.
Hey,
churches, turn back to God.
Hey.
Turn back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Turn back to his ways.
Yeah.
Repent,
hey,
or you will likewise perish in your iniquity. He says, for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they are more righteous than thou. That pair of young ladies right over there, 300 yards from here, that looked me in the eye and said, what if we're gay? When I told them about Jesus. And then they said, I hate Jesus.
Yeah.
And they mocked my face. And they laughed at me and they scorned me. And they refused the John and the Romans that I tried to give them. As I told them, Jesus will save you. He'll save you if you'll repent, if you'll turn. Jesus, God Almighty, says to the church in its lewdness, in its abominations, in its whoredoms, they're justified by your actions. They are justified by your actions. They're justified by your actions. Says in verse 53, when I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. If there's going to be a revival in our churches, we're going to have a revival when the Sodomites and the drug dealers get right with God and start preaching righteousness to our churches. I think we might be seeing a little bit of a stir. And there's some rough crowd. They're rough. But some of them, they know one thing. They got saved by the blood of Jesus. And they don't know, well, we got way better doctrine than they got. We got all our I's dotted and our T's crossed, but they've got God. And they're going with God. Lord, help me tonight. He says, when thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. You wouldn't even talk about them. You just kind of brush it over. And, oh, well, we're in the day of thy pride. He says, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. Now if God did this to the nation of Israel, he will do it to the Gentile church. He said, if they were broken off, that thou might be grafted in. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if he spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Neither will he spare thee. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which has despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee. I've wanted to get here so bad. I've been waiting to get here. But I just don't have much in me tonight. I'll just do my best and be done. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. But not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 when you're going there. I just want to touch on that covenant tonight. There's a sin worse than Sodom. There's a sin worse than Sodom, and it's fake church. It's fake church. It's worse than Sodom, according to God.
Yeah.
And Sodom is bad, according to God.
Yeah.
And if you won't tell people like that, you don't tell them that, you don't love them.
Yeah.
Because God's going to burn up the Sodomites. Yeah. He's going to burn up the adulterers. He's going to burn up the liars. He's going to burn up the thieves. He's going to burn up the whoremongers. He's going to burn them up.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Right. And if such were some of you, he said.
Yeah.
There's a sin worse than Sodom, and it's fake church. Now, I don't know anybody more anti-Christ than fake church members.
Yep.
Nobody. Nobody will fight a preacher of righteousness more than a fake church member. Nobody will fight a preacher on the street, Brother Junior, more than a false professor.
Yep.
Oh, I'm a Christian, Brother Junior, and Jesus didn't do what you're doing. Nobody ever fought my daddy up in Springfield, Missouri when he was on the street preaching like the churchgoers. Nobody.
Yep.
You know who's going to bring in persecution in this nation? It's the churches.
Yep.
You know who's going to take the King James Bible, if they can, out of our hands? It's the fake churches.
Right.
You know who's going to start killing people in this land? It's the fake churches.
Yep.
Now, as we're going to Hebrews, we'll just reference Genesis 19. I want you, if you haven't read it, to read it. That's the sin of Sodom. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty gross. Pretty horrifying. And God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah for it. Jude verse 7 tells you what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and why it happened. And he says to the church today in America that calls itself the church, you're worse than your sister Sodom.
Yeah.
You're worse. You committed lewdness. You committed abomination. And I'm not better. All I've got is the blood. All I've got, my only hope is the blood of Jesus.
Hey.
My only hope is the old Bible. Sometimes the best thing God can do for a meeting, Brother Michael, is to kill him. And sometimes it would all be fake at the end. Sometimes you just got to preach the truth and go home with your butt whipped. Noah had eight.
Yeah.
Eight left.
Yeah.
Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first bread was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Can't now describe exactly what that tabernacle looked like. Here's the first covenant. The first covenant had the ashes of a red heifer. The ashes of a red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying, and purifying the flesh, in verse 13. The first covenant stood in meats and drinks, and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He gripped the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
You're not going to be purified by your old covenant. Not by your covenant, he says. I'm going to make another one.
Yeah.
He told that to Israel. And today we've got churches full of works. We've got churches with bus ministries, and I praise God for bus ministries. A lot of people have been saved through bus ministries. We've got churches with missions, and we've got faith promise giving. Listen, I love the Baptist churches of America. Most of my friends are Baptists. My grandma was a Pentecostal. I love some Pentecostal people too. I haven't grown up. I'm not around those people much. I don't see eye to eye with everything they do, but there's some good, saved people out there.
Yeah.
There's some good, saved people out there that really care about the Lord and His Word. They're a little different. We do things differently. And I'm just going to keep following Jesus the best I know how. There's some other people in some old Methodist churches up in the hills that hold to the old Bible and preach the gospel with fire. There's some old people from all types of backgrounds and all kinds of groups. I love dearly. He says here you can purge your conscience from dead works. Church of America, this is what it's going to take. He's got to purge us from our dead works. He's got to purge us from our bands. He's got to purge us from our lights and fog. He's got to purge us from our bus ministries if we're doing it in the flesh. You know, God will let a church die. Help me, Lord. There's an old church in Mississippi. And that's probably all I have to say for some of you to know what I'm talking about. And it's about God. An old preacher still holding on, holds the line there. They still have Bible meetings every year. And it's a shadow of its former glory today. God used it mightily. Mightily in this church. You know, it's dying today. The old preacher's, he's on his last leg. We got the privilege of stopping in and meeting with him on our way down here. And they had about 8 people at the church on their Wednesday night service. That church is about to go. This camp meeting been pulled up tonight. This church is going to shut down across this land. This ministry is going to end. Who's going to hold your cross for you, Brother Junior? I don't mean to cause you grief saying that. Who's going to take up your work, Brother Dooley? There's churches closing all across this land because they've all gone in for the Egypt stuff. We've got to stand. There's a sin worse than sodomy. And it's not going to church with 3 people. It's going to church with 100 people making whorings with Egypt.
Yeah.
It's a sin. We got to stand. I don't know why God had me preach this night. This isn't even what I thought He was going to have me preach whenever I started preaching this text. I was going to get on to the Sodomites. And God said, no, there's a sin worse than sodomy. And I want you to preach on the sin worse than sodomy. The sin worse than sodomy is fake church.
Amen.
And fake church can hold a King James Authorized Version Bible.
Right.
Fake church can believe in dispensational truth that I believe in. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. God bless you if you are. Maybe have you hate me here tonight for saying that. A fake church can have a bus ministry. A fake church can dress modestly. A fake church can have big outreaches. A fake church can send money to missions. A fake church can send out preachers. But they've left the power of God. They trust in their own beauty and they trust in their own renown. Well, old Sammy Allen built this church. Old Sammy, he built this one. So we know it's got to be good. I shouldn't name a bunch of names tonight. The Lord wouldn't bless it. We trust in our renown. And we've sold out and committed horrible to Egypt.
I don't have anything to add to that. Heard the Bible tonight. It's been preached. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray that their conscience would be pricked. And that they'd seek the blood. We need to stand, having done all to stand. We need not to give to this world. We need Christians that won't put up with it. That'll stick with the book. That won't just go with the flow. We need Christians that keep on with the Word of God. I don't have
anything to add to that message? God spoke to us tonight. I believe God knows what needs preached in this tent. We don't, but God does, and that's what we pray. And we ask God to lead and guide and direct us. And when God guides us and God directs us, we need not be ashamed of it. That's what we pray for. So let's do business tonight. Tonight, let's pray for our churches. Let's pray that they get right. Let's pray that we keep to this Bible and stand, having done all to stand. That's all I've got. If we want to play some music while we pray, we can. If there's no need to be pray, we need it. Our churches need to go back to prayer.
Do not forget us in this day. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on us. Help us, Lord.
Yes. Something in your own life that God may be pointing out to you tonight. You're right with God. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you show us, Lord. Show us our own sin in our lives. Search us, O Lord. Search my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you clean me, Lord. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for the church in America, Lord God. The churches throughout this whole country, Lord, that they turn back to your words, Lord. Have mercy on them, God. Without you, there's nothing, Lord. It's dead, Lord, without you.
Yes, God.
It's worldly, Lord, without you.
Yes, God.
Lord, the church is committing boredom, Lord, with the world.
Yes, God.
Help us not to love the world, Lord. Help us to love your words again, Lord God. Bring a love back for your words across this country, Lord. Christians that know better, Lord. Christians that once loved your words.
Yes, God. Help, Lord.
For your words, Lord.
Help,
God.
Lord.
Lord, I pray, Lord, you raise up a generation, Lord, that loves your word, Lord.
Yes, God, Jesus' name.
Lord God, the good churches are fading and they're gone. Or they've gone out into the world, Lord. I pray,
Lord,
turn it back, Lord. Turn the tide, Lord God.
Yes, God, do it, Lord.
Lord, I believe that you can. I believe that you want to, Lord. Help us. Have mercy, Lord. Lord God, start, Lord, with us.
Yes, God. Good, Lord.
Start with me, Lord God. Help me, Lord. Not for my glory, but for your glory, Lord God. Clean me, Lord. Help me to stay true. Help me to stand out and all stand, Lord God.
Help me, Lord God.
Lord God, I pray, Lord, to keep my eye, keep my heart, Lord, from drifting in this world, Lord.
Yes, God.
Keep my eyes on you, Lord God. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Lord, you're faithful, Lord. Help me to be faithful.
Yes, God.
But you've got to keep me faithful, Lord God. I'm asking you to, Lord. When we go astray, Lord, when the world looks appealing, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you chasten me, Lord.
Yes, God.
And I pray,
yes,
Lord, that we have repentant hearts, Lord God. When you chasten, Lord, help us to have hearts that are willing to hear the chastening, Lord God. Lord, help us not to grow callous. When you get on to me, Lord God, help me to receive it, Lord God. When you get on to your church, Lord God, help them to see their sin, Lord. Help us to repent, Lord God. Give us a soft heart, Lord. A heart that's willing to respond to you, Lord God.
Yes, God.
Help us not to be full of pride and go our own way, Lord. Help us, Lord God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this your words, Lord. I thank you that they're true. I thank you that you talk to me, Lord God. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve your mercy, Lord, as a country, Lord God. But you're merciful and you're long-suffering, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you continue to pour your mercy out on this country and on your church. Revive us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Amen.